Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Okay, well, hopefully people are actually hearing this live right now. The reason I say that is because I'm using new software to stream the Crisis Point Podcast. For those who are listening through a podcast, an audio-only podcast, of course, it'll just be a recording and you'll be able to listen to it normally, assuming it's recording as well. So basically I'm using some new software. We're doing some new stuff. We're going to be streaming. We're streaming live to YouTube as we have been for a while. I'm also got set up to stream live to Facebook. If you want to go to, it would just be facebook.com/crisismagazine. And you can find us there streaming live. Of course, just subscribe to our Facebook page while you're there. Also, I'm going live, I think, to Twitter, and you can just find us there at twitter.com/crisismag. So twitter.com/crisismag, at crisismag if you're on Twitter, and hopefully we're streaming live. Also, follow us there if you could. And then the one I'm most excited about, though, honestly, is, as you probably know, if you've listened all to our podcast or Red Crisis, anything I've written, I'm not a fan of big tech. And here I am using a lot of big tech. I have YouTube, I have Twitter, Facebook. But the one I'm most excited about, and hopefully it's, like I said, it's working, is we're streaming live to Odyssey. And that's O-D-Y-S-E-E, Odyssey. And this is a relatively new video platform. And the way it works is it actually works on a blockchain technology. I'll keep it simple for everybody. And let me just check something, make sure I got everything running here. And so basically what's happening is that if we're streaming live on there, it's outside of big tech's control. It uses blockchain technology, so it can't be censored. It can't be really deleted or anything like that. Once it's on there permanently. And they're not going to take away if I say something against the narrative about COVID, for example. They're not going to delete me for that, like Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube all might do. I hear the new CEO of Twitter will probably be much worse than the old one as far as censoring. So we'll see how long we last on that. So if you want to find us on there, it's odyssey.com, again, odyssey.com/@crisismag. I don't know why they put an at before it, but it's /@crisismag. Okay, so basically, so if you could, like and subscribe to us on any of those channels, anyone that you prefer. I mean, I prefer the non-big tech ones, but I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube, so I understand people are on those as well, and that's where most people are. And so I just ask you to like and subscribe to our channels at the various locations, wherever you prefer to do that. Also, this is another exciting thing. We will get to the topic of the podcast before too long. Another exciting thing is I sometimes mention to donate to Crisis Magazine. Today is, I'm recording this live on Giving Tuesday, so I think I'm required by law these days to say, please give to us. So I'm going to do that. Just go to crisismagazine.com/support to donate to Crisis Magazine. But what I'm excited about is a few podcasts ago, I think it was my podcast on Bitcoin, I mentioned that you cannot donate to Crisis Magazine using cryptocurrency yet. However, now you can. We've got it set up. So if you just go to crisismagazine.com/support, there will be a link to donate by credit card, but there's also, and I think PayPal, I can't remember now, but also a link to donate via cryptocurrency. We have a number of different cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and Ethereum and some others that you can donate using. So I'm excited about that because I am a geek about cryptocurrency. I know not most people aren't yet, but you will be. So anyway, so feel free to donate with cryptocurrency here on Giving Tuesday. We don't have any special thing where all of a sudden you get, you know, all your donations are matched or anything like that. So just give and we'll appreciate it. So that should be good. Okay, so I'm also not sure if I'm seeing the chat comments on this new software. So if anybody wants to put something in the chat, maybe it'll show up here, maybe it won't, and we'll find out if that part works. I really like that feature, so hopefully I'll be able to see those here. Now, let's go ahead and get to our actual topic of this podcast, which is, I call it, I'm titling this Fear as a Means of Control. I think we all kind of know, mainly what I'm going to be talking about, is the fact that fear has been a driving force in our political discussions over the past what is it now, 18, 19 months since COVID started. But I want to go broader than that and just talk about generally how this is happening, how fear is being used as a means to control, as a means to control us, both in politics, in the world, but also in the church. And I thought of this because last week, right after Thanksgiving, we had the Omicron variant dropped, as people said. I mean, basically, all of a sudden, now we have this new variant that we're all supposed to be very afraid of. And people were freaking out about it. I mean, I saw these people. I mean, one guy who's a big fearmonger about COVID on Twitter, he's a doctor or something. He was like, oh my God, is how he started off his tweet. Like, he's just so afraid. Another person said, I've been working in a hospital since this began, one of the largest hospitals. We see all these different types of people. I haven't been afraid before, but now I'm afraid. And it was basically just saying, we need to be afraid, very afraid. All the corporate press, all of its talking about this was basically saying that we need to be afraid because the Omicron variant. Now, first, I think a lot of people notice that, how do we get to Omicron? It felt like Delta was the last big one. If you know the Greek alphabet at all, there's a number of letters between Delta and Omicron. And actually, they only skipped two, I found out. They only skipped two names. They skipped the new variant, NU, because they did have a MU. I know Greek scholars, I know it's not actually MU. But anyway, they did have that one. And you know, they did have one. I guess it wasn't a big deal. But now they wanted to skip new, the who said, they're the ones who named these. They want to skip new because it sounded too much like new, N-E-W. And they wanted to skip chi, which looks like X-I, because they were afraid of that being offensive. And the point was, it would be, who would it be offensive to? I guess it's a very common last name, they said, in for Chinese people. But more importantly, it's also the last name of the current Chinese leader. And so they didn't want to have that because they didn't want to have an offensive name that made it sound like it was connected to him. Anyway, back to the Omicron variant. We had a sell-off on Wall Street when this was announced. This was on Black Friday. And they announced that there was we found there was a sell-off because people were panicked. And mostly Wall Street was panicked because they thought it would bring about new lockdowns. And obviously lockdowns are going to be terrible for business. And so that was another problem. But the fact is, we had almost no information about the Omicron variant at this time. And basically, though, people still were like, okay, we have to assume the worst. We have to make everybody afraid as much as possible. And really, the reason why they wanted people in fear. Now, I will say there's different reasons. The corporate press, I call them the corporate press because they're not the mainstream media because they're not mainstream anymore. But the corporate press, they wanted this to be driven by fear because that sells, you know, soda pop and cars and phones and whatever else, whoever else is advertising with them. So they push fear primarily because it sells. It gets people to click on their articles. If you have a very fear-driven headline and talk about how we should all be afraid, people will click on that. Now, I think, though, for many of the political elites, it's another chance to express control because they know, they sense when things start slipping. When their narrative starts slipping, when people stop being doing exactly what they're told to do, they sense that. And so they essentially decide, okay, we need to do something in order to make it happen. So in order to make it so that people are afraid and do what we say. Sorry, I got distracted there for a second. And we see that, for example, in the statement by President Biden on the Omicron variant, which came out on the day after Thanksgiving when it first was announced. And he said, I have two important messages for the American people and one for the world community. The first message was, the best way to strengthen your protection if you are already vaccinated is to get a booster shot as soon as you're eligible. So push the vaccine, the booster. Second, for those not yet fully vaccinated, get vaccinated today. And third, for the world community, the news about this new variant should make it clearer than ever why this pandemic will not end until we have global vaccinations. So basically, he just wanted to promote vaccinations. He just wanted to promote that we all need to get vaccinated because that's a means of control. And that's really what it is. The reason I say it's a means of control is because scientifically, it has not been shown that these vaccinations, first of all, they don't keep you from getting COVID. They don't keep you from spreading COVID. They might get you have lesser symptoms. That is possible. But with the Omicron variant, we actually know nothing about whether or not the vaccines would protect against it. Definitely not on Friday when he made the statement. So he's saying because of Omicron variant, which we don't know if the vaccines can do anything about, you all have to get vaccinated. And that's how we're going to end the pandemic. But that makes no sense because we actually don't know what it was, whether or not the Omicron variant would actually be stopped by the vaccines, if it would have any impact. We knew nothing at this time. I think we still don't know. But regardless, the point is that it just was a, it wasn't a health thing. This wasn't like, okay, we need to get vaccinated because it, we know for a fact it's going to stop the Omicron variant. Instead, it was just a matter of, we're telling you what to do. We need you to do it. We need everybody to basically follow along and follow our narrative. And so what happens is like we fall for it. So many people fall for it. And I do think less people are falling for it. But it ends up being like the boy who cried wolf. And in the story of the boy who cried wolf, it's not the fault of the people for believing the boy at first. I mean, because they're like, hey, he was saying there's a wolf coming. We should be afraid because we just assume he's telling the truth. But what happens is that eventually the people realize, wait a minute, this guy is just crying wolf each time. There's actually not a wolf coming. And that's what's happening, hopefully, is people are starting to not believe the latest fear-mongering from the corporate press, from our elites. And they're realizing, okay, this is all just done in order to pull our strings, in order to make us puppets, to do what they want us to do, in order to exert their control. And really, since the beginning of COVID, we've seen that there was a big a push for fear. I remember very clearly March of 2020. I think we all do, but I remember on Twitter, boy, if you said anything that even suggested that maybe this wasn't a global plague that will wipe out half the earth, you were just shot down and told, you hate grandma, you want to kill people, you don't care about anybody. If you say, well, hold on a second, we actually don't know much about it, and what we do know doesn't sound as bad as what they're saying. Because remember the 3.74%? I think that was the number that was thrown out there of the percentage of people who get it who die. And that was debunked later as just a made-up thing. It wasn't really a true number. And so it ends up being much, much less than that. But they threw that out there because we all were basically afraid, and they knew if we do this, they could get away with anything. And they literally did get away with anything. I mean, we had Cuomo in New York killing grandma, literally, and he's getting away with it because he's saying somehow this is helping stop the spread of COVID. We have all states locking, almost every state locking down, telling us we can't work, telling us what's essential, what's not essential. We have all these things happening, and it's all about fear. It's about fear because ultimately, most people will take safety over freedom. If they have a choice, no matter what they say in a poll, when it comes down to it, they'll take safety over freedom. And so you can't fear people into freedom. You can fear them into safety. You can fear them to say, okay, we're going to control your lives, but you'll be safe. But if we don't control your lives, then you'll be dead. And most people will accept that bargain and say, okay, you can control my life then. And ultimately, though, what usually happens is the fear, I mean, it usually is a false dichotomy. It's usually saying that there isn't a connection. It isn't a choice between safety and freedom. Because usually it's not really, we're not as unsafe as they say we are. Like I said, they're just drumming up fear in order to make it so we feel unsafe. But in actuality, we're probably not anywhere near as unsafe as they claim it to be. And so basically what they're doing, they're taking away our freedom and not really giving us any additional safety. We've seen that with the lockdowns. And the mask mandates, all the different COVID responses of governments have almost all had absolutely zero impact on whether or not COVID is actually being spread or not. It hasn't stopped it. We've seen it seasonal. I mean, look at Florida. It did everything. It basically stopped lockdowns a few months after COVID started. They have not shown any greater sense of having people get COVID or die or anything like that than other states. They're just basically average without doing any of that. So essentially, what's happening is we see that all these measures to control our lives actually aren't making us more safe. COVID is still going to do what it's going to do. And it's not saying that people couldn't voluntarily choose to do things to try to prevent getting it, like especially elderly and things like that. But ultimately, all these measures are about control. They're about control. They're not about anything else. Somebody said in the chat, Florida has horrible stats, one of the worst in the nation. Please be factual. That's just false. You want me to just look it up? I mean, you know, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's simply false. The fact is, Florida has not had terrible stats. They're not one of the worst in the nation. In fact, if you just look it up right now, for example, I just saw a map yesterday that showed the last 7 days COVID transmission, and Florida had by far the best rates, meaning the lowest rates. And they've shown over and over again that they're right about the middle of the pack as far as it goes. But you would think with what the media is saying, the media is saying is that COVID, basically everybody is dying in Florida. And it's simply not true. You would think they'd all be dying. And the fact that it's average shows simply that these measures that people are taking, the lockdowns and mask mandates, do not stop. And in fact, there's a great, I don't remember the name of the URL of the site right now, but there's a site that basically shows like COVID stats, and they have you guess. It's like a COVID quiz, and they show you charts, and they basically say, okay, one of these has mask mandates and the others don't. What's the difference? And you can't see a difference. One of these does not have mask mandates and the others don't, different states in the union, and you can't see a difference. You can never see a difference because frankly, mask mandates never have worked. Lockdowns have not worked. I mean, this is just, you know, just have to look it up and you'll see it's true. Okay, but they continue to have fear mongering. By the way, I just want to note that my new software, I'm not seeing YouTube chat. I'm only seeing the Facebook chat. And so I apologize if you're on YouTube right now and you're putting chat in. I'm not seeing your comments. I'll try to figure that out maybe for the next time, or maybe it'll show up here. So, okay. Okay, so my point is that obviously we use fear to control, but I want to bring that a little bit broader than just the COVID situation. And I want to bring it into Catholicism. After all, this is a Catholic channel. I feel like there's a certain type of clericalism that is built upon fear. And that is the idea is if we dare criticize our church leaders, so our bishops or the Pope or priests, then we're basically putting our soul in eternal jeopardy. We're basically going to go to hell if we even dare to do that. Just the other day, I was called a heretic on Twitter because of my podcast from a few months ago titled Rethinking the Papacy. And I was just basically saying, I think we need to really look at church teaching on the papacy. I wasn't saying we need to change church teaching. I made it very clear we shouldn't. But at the same time, we need to look at it and interpret it in light of our 2,000-year tradition and maybe see where we've gone a bit astray in understanding that church teaching. For that, I'm a heretic. Why? Because I don't go along with the current narrative. And that's what you'll see a lot is you'll see people saying, if you don't go along with the current church narrative, not church teaching, not the actual tradition of church, but the current church narrative, then you're basically placing your soul in jeopardy. And so what happens is people are afraid to speak up and say, wait a second, it's not true that everything's going fine in the church over the past past 50 years. It's not true that everything is great under Pope Francis and that all the things that he said, everybody's just going that. Hey, I just saw a YouTube chat comment. So that's good to see that we had that. Sorry, I did that, interrupted there. But basically what's happened is church leaders are demanding we accept the church narrative of the day, not necessarily church teaching, but the church narrative. For example, that the new mass has been a great flourishing in the church. A new springtime has arisen because of Vatican II, that everything about Vatican II is the super council in which we interpret every other council, every other church teaching is always influenced through Vatican II. These things are told to us. If we don't accept this, if we don't go along with this, then we're told basically we're putting our salvation in jeopardy. There's a line from Vatican II that talks about that we must give submission of mind and will to the church. And this has been used as a hammer to tell people, if you don't do this in the way I want you to do it, is what they really mean, then you will go to, then you will, you are putting your soul in jeopardy. You could potentially go to hell. And so this idea of any criticism of the church, that if we don't go along with what the church, the current church narrative is, that we're endangering our soul. That's another case of fear, be using fear to control us. Now, I'm not saying, just to be clear, I'm not saying we don't go along with church teaching. Of course we do. We go along with the official church teaching because that is something that Christ gave us, because we do want to follow, obviously, Christ, and he gives us his teachings to the church. But there's a difference between following church teaching and following the current narrative. The current narrative says we have to embrace everything about the new evangelization and the new mass and everything new. We have to also accept everything that the Pope Francis says about politics, about different ways. And so we have to do all of this in order to basically, we have to do this in order to be a good Catholic. We have to accept this narrative. And that's simply not true. And so what is it, though, that we should be afraid of? I said fear is a means of control. There is something that we should have be afraid of. And what is it? What are we supposed to be afraid of? Well, our Lord told us in Matthew chapter 10, he says, so have no fear of them. And he's talking about people who are, he's talking about people who will persecute Catholics, persecute his followers. Have no fear of them. So don't be afraid of those who persecute you. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. And then our Lord goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so basically, our Lord is saying, we only should fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. And so what he's basically saying is we should only fear damnation. That is the only thing Catholics should be afraid of, is eternal damnation, nothing else. And so when we're told that, okay, if you don't do all these things that the state tells you you have to do, then people will die, we don't have to automatically be afraid that, oh, somebody might die. Because the fact is, since the beginning of time, people have died of disease and illness. We can't act like everything revolves around that. I literally saw somebody, I think it was on Facebook, who compared COVID to the Holocaust, because they said, oh, over 5 million people have died from COVID, have been killed by COVID. They said killed, not died from. They said killed by COVID, as if COVID is some sentient being that goes out and kills people. And then she compared that to the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, and basically equating them, which is just ludicrous. First of all, look at the numbers of how many people actually die from just various diseases every year. Millions of people die every year, a lot more than died in the Holocaust. But we don't say all of a sudden every disease is just as bad as the Holocaust or something like that. We have to do things in order to stop those. It's basically just driving up fear of this one particular virus and saying that's the most important thing. But we know the most important thing is eternal salvation. It's not the health of our body. Now, yes, we are supposed to stay healthy. I'm not saying go out and try to get COVID or something like that. I'm not saying when you have COVID, go out and start coughing on people. Of course not. We take our reasonable means to protect others, just like we do with any other virus. When I have the flu, I don't go to mass. When I had COVID, I didn't go to mass. You know, we do these reasonable things. I didn't go over to my elderly parents' house for a while when I had COVID. We do reasonable things. At the same time, though, we don't let our whole lives run around COVID and act like it's the end-all, be-all of the world and the most important thing. The only thing we're supposed to fear is damnation. So now, that being said, we shouldn't let fear drive us when we come to political decisions. Most terrible laws are passed due to fear. Like this infrastructure bill that they just passed recently, which is just a disaster. It was all like, we have to rush. We have to do this or else, and then insert the fear mongering after that. Whenever they're rushing a bill, it's always or else fear mongering. And the same thing here is happening with COVID. And you know, you see it in the church. If we don't go along with the church narrative, then I don't know, these bad things will happen as if they're not already happening anyway. But how is it we can resist fear? So the only thing we should be afraid of is damnation, but it's human nature. It's normal to fear things like dying. That's normal. That's part of the fall. It's normal to fear just getting sick. It's normal to fear being injured, things like that. How do we resist fear and not let it drive us? It's not a matter of not being afraid as much as not letting fear control us. They use fear to control us. We can't let them do that. We can't let fear control our actions either. And so I have a few recommendations. The first one is always stay close to prayer and the sacraments. I know this sounds very cliched, but I really think it's true that the most important thing we can do is stay close to prayer, in prayer and in the sacraments. Be receiving the sacraments regularly, be in prayer every single day. Really have a life of prayer, because what happens when you have a life of prayer is all the things of this world become less important. If you're thinking about the things of heaven, you're thinking about the spiritual life, then you're not going to think as much, it's as important to care about this world, because you're going to know that our time on this world is too short. It's very short compared to our time in eternity. And so what matters is eternity, not the latest fear-mongering tactic of the state or fear-mongering tactic of church leaders either. The second thing I would recommend, so in obviously receive the sacraments, pray. The second thing I would say is, make sure you're attending a parish that puts the spirit over the body. I've seen too many parishes that, I mean, their bulletins are full of, we got all a mask, we all have to social distance, we all have to do all these things. And they're not talking at all about, we all need to go to confession. We all need to make sure we're living a life of prayer, all these other things. Instead, they're just focused on the needs of the body. So if you let that, if your parish is doing that, it will impact you, even if you think it isn't. If every Sunday when you go to Mass, you see your bulletin, they talk about the need to mask and the need to get vaccinated, all these things. And if you see everybody else in mask and things like that, even if you don't wear it, you're still being impacted. And so I would just say, leave that parish, find a better parish that puts the needs of the spirit above the body, because it impacts you and it allows fear to control you. Another thing I would say is distrust human authority. The psalm says, put not your trust in princes. And I think that can mean princes of the world and princes of the church. So when we say, you know, put not your trust in princes, I think we really have to live that out today. So obviously never trust initially our political leaders. They're in this to basically control you. They're not in this for your good. The idea that our political leaders are for the common good is just ridiculous. Do not trust them. I'm not saying they're always wrong. I'm not saying you automatically say whatever they say, you go the opposite. No, they might say some things that are right, and a broken clock is right twice a day. But you have to verify what they say is true. Like the whole Florida narrative, the whole narrative that Florida is this terrible thing. I mean, we had somebody in the comments who was talking about that, acting like the Florida is just this wasteland of dead bodies when it's really not. We have to verify these things. You know, the Omicron variant, it looks like it's going to be a mild case. And so essentially we don't have to worry about it as much as they even said we did. Even the people are saying this, even the people pushing the Omicron variant understand this now. So distrust human authority, distrust princes. Also, I hate to say this, but in the era of the church we're in, I think we need to automatically distrust princes of the church as well. So for example, the Pope and the bishops and those in charge. When I say distrust them, I don't mean that we don't acknowledge their authority. They have true authority in the church and we have to acknowledge that. And I'm not saying we just automatically disobey them either. If they give orders that are in keeping with their office, sure, go ahead and obey them. Now they don't have the authority to say wear a mask or get the vaccine. So you don't have to obey that. But if they say, for example, that the age of confirmation in our diocese is going to change from 10 to 12 or something like that, absolutely, we have to obey that. We don't all of a sudden try to disobey something like that. But we cannot trust them, especially when they've bought into the narrative as much as anybody else, that they follow the narrative. That's really the sadness of our church leaders today, is they buy into the corporate press, the political elite narrative, just without even questioning it. They put their trust in princes is what they're doing. So that's the third thing I would say. So stay close to prayer and sacraments. Attend a parish that puts the spirit over the body. Distrust human authority, put not your trust in princes. And the last thing is, I would say really embrace tradition. And what I mean by that is the tradition of the church. That's the power of tradition. It allows you to see how Catholics lived in difficult times. And we can model ourselves by that. So for example, today, the day I'm recording this is November 30th, 2021, the Feast of St. Andrew. I was reading just this morning in prayer about St. Andrew. And when he was going to get martyred, when the leader was going, the ruler was going to, I can't remember if it was a king or what, some ruler was going to martyr him, the people who his followers were going to get him freed. They found a way to get him free. And he said, no, don't do that. I desire to be martyred. Think about that. Not only is he not afraid of martyrdom, he wants martyrdom. The same story with St. Ignatius of Antioch is told, it says same. He tells his disciples, he said, don't try to get me off of this. I want to be martyred. I want to become as Jesus Christ did. And so when you see these things in our tradition, it really makes it clear that we shouldn't be living in fear of some virus that really has a 99% recovery rate. We should be fearing only hell. And when we see people like St. Andrew or St. Ignatius of Antioch, that they're actually desiring martyrdom, that puts it in perspective. It also, embracing tradition helps us to understand the bedrock truths of our faith. So we can very easily see when a bishop or even the Pope says something that goes away from that, then we know instinctively, oh, wait a second, that's not really something that he has authority to say. We don't really have to obey that command because something like a mask mandate or something like that. But really what tradition does, it allows us not to be caught up in the now. Because that's really what happens is we're caught up in the now. Because social media, the 24-hour news channels, it very much keeps us in the now. It makes us only think about what's happening now and no other time. And really, we want to instead be people who are caught up in the tradition of the church. That we are living as Catholics in a 2,000-year tradition that dates back to our Lord. And even before that, if we go all the way back to the Jewish foundations of our faith, we don't want to have to be caught up in, oh, the Omicron variant right now. Instead, what we're thinking of is the Alpha and the Omega. Yes, I know that's kind of a cheesy dad joke right there, but we want to think about the Alpha and the Omega, our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be thinking about whatever the latest variant is. And so then we can act a lot more sensibly, a lot less in fear, and we won't be controlled as easily by those who want to control us, both in the church and also, more importantly, in the world. Okay, so my final advice is just be not afraid. As our Lord said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid of whatever the latest news is, and you know, act prudently and be prepared for bad times ahead. I've talked about that numerous times on this podcast. But you don't act out of fear. You don't run out and buy a ton of toilet paper because there might be a run on it. Instead, you're prepared and you just are calm about these things. So be not afraid. Our Lord himself has told us we have no need to be afraid. They may be able to kill our bodies, but they cannot kill our souls. Only we essentially can kill our own souls by committing mortal sin. So as long as we stay in a state of grace, we have nothing to fear. Okay, well, that's it for this one. Hopefully this all worked, streaming to the different platforms. Let me know if it didn't, or if it did, and I appreciate that. But until next time, God love you.